She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show here on the Arabian Sports Network. I'm Lucas Williams, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Jonathan Lambert.
And we'll have a great hour for you talking about all different types of sports. And we have, you know, a few interviews with different people like Coach Richmond and some football players. But first, I guess the first thing we want to talk about is just kind of around, you know, the fall sports. I guess the first sport I want to mention is, of course, boys varsity soccer. They have had a great season so far. They're currently 11-3, and in the conference, they are ranked second, 6-1, only to Mount Vernon, which is ranked 7-0.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how well they're doing. You know, only 3 losses out of the 14 total games, and
yeah, I mean, they've just had such a great season. They are coming off a great win against New Palestine. We do not have the stats for that, but they did play yesterday, and they did come out with the win 5-2. I know New Palestine, they're definitely a great team. And also, they played against Shelbyville on the 1st of October, and we do not have any stats for that. But they did win the game 4-0, so we just got to give the props to them. But looking at some season stat leaders, it's actually all kind of Dylan John, who is a junior this year. He is leading in goals, assists, and points. Currently, he has 14 goals, 9 assists, and 37 points. Now, the next team, of course, we got to mention is the girls varsity soccer. They are having, again, another great season. They are 7-7-1, and they are also ranked second in the conference, 6-1.
Yeah, and coming off a game, the 2nd of October, they went 3-1 versus...
Yeah, we actually do not have the team that they played against, but, you know, in that game we do have Gracie Coleman. She'd had a goal, as well as Amari Francis and Courtney Prickett.
And the stat leader for... And then they also had a game on the 30th of September against Mount Vernon. They lost 1-4. And Courtney Prickett, Jr., with 1 goal.
Yeah, so, I mean, a tough loss to Mount Vernon. They're definitely one of our rivals and just a great team overall. And also for the season stat leaders, just like the boys team, it is Gracie Coleman all the way leading in goals, assists, and points. She currently has 7 goals, 3 assists, and 17 points. I mean, it just seems like there's kind of the star player in both of these teams. Now, the next team I want to mention is the girls volleyball. They're currently ranked 15-13 and ranked 7th in the conference with a record of 1-5. Now, they did play against Greenfield Central. We do not actually have any score or stats reported for that game that was played on October 3rd, just 2 days ago, but we do have the stats for the game against Shelbyville on the 1st. Looks like Casey Warfel Sr. had 12 kills leading the team. And then you have Carmen Horn with 11 kills and Sydney Robinson and Ava Zek with both 6 kills. Now, looking at some of the season stat leaders, now this time it is actually spread out across the board. You have Casey Warfel leading the team with 238 kills. You have Carmen Horn with the highest kill percentage of 42%. And you have Gianna Gannitz, who has the most amount of aces with 62. Looking at the next team I want to kind of mention is the boys varsity tennis. They are 11-7.
And most recent matches, on the 16th of September, they lost against New Pal, 0-5. On the 12th was 4-1 against Shenandoah, and the 10th, 5-0 versus Yorktown. And on the 5th was 4-1 versus Heritage Chris.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have had a great season. They did have a rough loss against New Palestine, but, I mean, they did know coming into this game that New Palestine is not a team that you really want to mess with. I know that Logan Romaine, who is a WEEM member, I was mentioning a little bit about, you know, the matchup against New Palestine, and he said that they are legit. So, I mean, it is just a team that you do not want to mess with, but they did come off a loss on the 1st of September versus Fishers, which is a sectional Arabians loss, finishing the season. And, I mean, as I said, they did go 11-7, quote, one of the best seasons in recent history. So, I mean, overall, great job by the boys varsity tennis team. I guess the last team we want to mention is, of course, the boys varsity football team that are currently coming off a 27-26 loss last night against Delta. Kind of a heartbreaker, but man, it was such a great game. And just looking into some of the spotlights, you have quarterback Colton Frank. He's gone 77 for 144, 1,005 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Now, it is kind of important to mention that, you know, these are not updated stats from last night. We do not have the stats from last night yet. But, I mean, this is over the course of, you know, 6 games. He's looking like a very promising quarterback.
And our running back, Keaton Jones, with an astounding 139 carries, 878 yards, and 9 touchdowns, has definitely been an outstanding performer this season, and has definitely been helping, but the team just hasn't been able to perform how they want.
Yeah, and another player I kind of want to mention is the wide receiver, Nate DeRolf. He is also a senior. He's had 18 catches for 310 yards and 5 touchdowns. He has definitely improved a lot from, you know, beginning. He started varsity in his sophomore year, and he has just come out to be a great player. And, I mean, just such a help for this team. But we are going to take a break right now. But when we come back, we'll have our segment with Coach Richmond here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Community Sports and Wellness, Fitness, Tennis, Pickleball, and Athletics, located at 395 South Heritage Way in Pendleton. Phone 765-744-1606. Online at communitysw.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Lucas Williams with my co-host,
Jonathan Lambert.
And we are joined right now by Coach Richmond of the boys varsity football team. How are we doing today?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
So getting straight into it, last week you guys played against Mount Vernon. You lost a close game, 14-10. How did you help these boys kind of get excited about this matchup?
Well, you know, it's another chance to go out and compete. And you only have so many, so you got to keep perspective and you know, you got to fix the fixable, and you know, you got to make sure you're having fun. I mean, this is a game. You know, it's tough losses the last couple weeks, but you gotta have perspective. You know, and you know, something that's helping me this morning, I'll be honest with you, our hearts and prayers are with the Harvey family, and Shelly Harvey's a big part of our community, and Jay, obviously, and but Shelly, being former athletic department member, you know, just think the world of her and her family, and just thinking about her today. So, you know, for us, this is a game, you know, and we take it very serious, and we want to be the best we can be. And, you know, last couple weeks, the other team made more plays, and if we don't like it, we just need to make more plays. We need to be better at what we're doing. It's not that complex.
So Colton Frank wasn't really able to do much against Mount Vernon. Of course, you had those harsh winds, and it was kind of raining sideways. Is there anything he did differently in practice to prepare for this game?
No, you know, I mean, as far as last week went, I mean, that's just variables you have to deal with, you know. And so our preparation this week was the same as always. We challenged the guys a little bit more, you know, and, you know, we had a really spirited week of practice and got better. It was very physical. I thought we played physical last night, too, the majority of the night. I mean, I think, you know, where Delta got us is their physicality was sustained longer. You know, on our two-point conversion, you know, once we went up 26-21, we have guys just let their blocks go. You know, I mean, if you want to win that bad, then win. You know, if you don't want to lose, then don't relent. If it's that easy to just stop doing what you're doing, then it doesn't mean that much to you. And I think that's real gut check time for some of our kids, you know. If you want to win so bad, I mean, if it really truly means that much to you, then fix it, you know. And, you know, our leader last night is Garrett Peterson, and he has been our leader all year. But, I mean, he was tenacious all over the field. I mean, you saw him in all three phases. So, I mean, we need more of that, you know, and he needs to maybe be a little more vocal, which he's not. I mean, but he's got to get more out of some of his teammates at times.
Yeah, and we saw more of Talon Foster last night. He has some big shoes to fill in the next season. And how are you trying to prepare him for that?
Well, his shoes are pretty good, too. You know, he's a good kid. Real hard worker, great attitude, and been a great addition to our team. And you know, last week it wasn't anything he did wrong. We just kept the I mean, we only had 40 some plays. I mean, we didn't have a lot of plays. So as far as who was getting those with the weather, we really tried to simplify, and we tried to make sure that mesh was consistent. And you know, because of that, we had one turnover, which was costly. And at the same time, you know, I thought we protected the ball really well. We did last night too. We had a takeaway. We didn't do anything with it. We didn't score, but you know, we didn't give the ball away last night, which I was really proud of.
Yeah, Keaton Jones was kind of struggling last night to find the open hole. What can you do to maximize his efforts in the upcoming games?
Well, I think on our inside run, outside run, I mean, he averaged over 5 yards a carry. So, and Garrett Peterson, you know, I think he averaged 9 yards a carry. So, you know, I mean, I think Colton, when given the opportunity, Colton's got to pull it. You know, I can't give you how many missed opportunities, but, you know, I mean, he had a big pull on our power read, which was a awesome execution. You know, there are a couple other times where maybe he could have, but at the end of the day, you know, we've just got to continue to be cohesive. I mean, we're down Jacob Rowley. He's out. Or sorry, not Jacob Rowley, Jacob McKinley. Kemper Owens is out. You know, I thought Brandon Nunnemaker stepped in last night. Nate Walls is playing his tail off in there. And I thought Carter Marlin showed some good things in there last night. And so, you know, we're a little beat up, you know, and Brandon's playing some defense, and Luke Graham played some defense last night. And so, you know, we gotta execute, and we've got to be cohesive. I mean, that's what it comes down to with the running game. So got to just continue to work and, you know, and execute and sustain. I mean, some of those plays for Keaton, you know, where he gets bottled up, I mean, they got a lot of guys in the box, and they did a really good job. They deserve some credit on that, but some of that was self-inflicted where we're not sustaining. So
it looks like wide receiver Nate Roth, he had a great game last night, including a touchdown. How has he evolved as a player as the season has gone on?
Well, I think Coach Joyce said he broke in the top 10 last night for career receptions, so that's no small feat with some of the receivers we've had play here. But at the same time, consistency is what we're still trying to get out of Nate. I mean, he's one of our guys. Sometimes I think he puts limits on himself. I mean, he's one of the best athletes walking the halls. And, you know, sometimes I think he doubts himself, and he shouldn't, because he's an exceptional kid, and he's a really good player. And, you know, we need more of him. And I don't know sometimes, you know, what's going on in these guys' heads sometimes. But, you know, last week he was so unselfish, blocked. He was incredible at punting. Then this week we get more passing game going, and then, you know, we miss some blocks, and we, you know, or we, are just a little off on our punts, you know, and we're not looking for perfection. We're just looking for consistent effort, you know, and he's our guy. I mean, he's one of our leaders, and we're counting on him. So, you know, it's one of those things. I thought Jacob Rowley made a lot of plays last night as well, and I could say the same about him. We're just looking for consistency, you know, and I know those guys are hurting this morning. They wanted to win. They played their butts off, but again, I go back to some of the things I was talking about earlier. You know, how bad do you want to win it if we're not sustaining, or if we're not willing to do the dirty work sometimes? You know, I mean, it's very simple to me. You know, I got on the bus last night and laid into both buses. Every single kid walked by four cases of water that we were taking with us. Every single kid. Anybody could have grabbed them. We had bags hanging out of the side of the buses. Like, it's someone else's job to tidy that stuff up, you know? The locker room was left messy. You know, and people are probably like, yeah, coach, just stick with coaching football. Well, unfortunately, I have to coach these other things before I can get to coaching football. And then we wonder why they don't do what they're supposed to do sometimes in critical, stressful moments, you know? So, I mean, I think about my own kids that way, you know, are they picking up their room? Am I holding them accountable? And, you know, I'm not blaming the parents for anything. I'm just saying, this is where we're at. We have a team full of teenagers here who are hurting this morning, who are 2-5, who very easily could be 6-1 when you really break it down. But we're 2-5, we're a 2-5 ball club, and we're kind of acting like it. Because at times, you know, we don't execute. You know, we know a bootleg's coming and we don't make a play. We know a run is coming and we don't fill. We know a pressure's coming and we don't step up and block. So it's not that complex. Some of these guys just need to be the helpers. They need to do the little things that don't take any stats or get much love, and they just need to be part of the team.
Now, for the final question of the segment, we saw freshman tight end Sam Barrett get some reps in. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you kind of looking for him as his career continues?
Do his job. I mean, you know, not false start. you know, make plays when they're there. But, you know, again, he's played all year long, and I don't see him as a freshman anymore, you know. And so, you know, the reason he earned that spot is because of his effort and because of his competitiveness. And, you know, I have to remind him of that. Like, you're not out here to do anything other than what you've been doing all year. So he needs to block his rules. He needs to run his routes, and he needs to play with tremendous effort. And if he does that, good things will happen.
All right. Well, thank you, Coach Richmond. We are going to take a break right now, but when we'll be back, we'll have another segment with Coach Richmond. But you're listening to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is sponsored by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Lucas Williams with my co-host,
Jonathan Lambert.
And we are joined here once again by Coach Richmond. And just getting straight into it, of course, you're coming off a tough loss to Delta. And, you know, you have talked a little bit about this, but how do you kind of boost this team morale again as, you know, they are down pretty big?
Well, I mean, what we say to ourselves matters whether we won or lost. So, you know, I mean, I got up same time I always do and broke the film down and came in here like I always do and broke the film down with the coaches and came in here to see you fine gentlemen talk about all this good football. And, you know, I mean, you suck it up is what you do. I mean, you unless you're a quitter. And I don't see any quitters in our locker room. So, you can't quit on life. And that's the thing these kids need to understand. And we get to play a game that we love. It seems really simple, but you gotta drop the ego and you gotta drop feeling sorry for yourself. If you left it on the field and you know you have corrections to make, then you own them, you go correct them, and then you don't do the same thing over again. Unfortunately, we got some guys, they're making the same mistakes over and over. And, it's sooner or later, we got to learn to be tougher, we got to stand up for ourselves against kids that aren't respectful. I'm not talking about altercations. I'm talking about understanding our worth, understanding our value. And that starts with our body language. That starts with what's going on inside our mind and what we're saying to ourselves. And you can't fix the exterior until you fix the interior. So you got to make sure what we're saying to ourselves today is really important. I mean, that's the case in any bad situation. I read The Guy in the Glass to the guys this week as kind of a point of emphasis. And if you can look yourself in the mirror today and you know you didn't cheat yourself, then let's go. You got nothing to hang your head about. If you cheated yourself this week, well, then you got to correct that, or that's what you are. And so I don't think anybody wants to be that, but shouldn't feel bad about yourself. You gave your all. That doesn't mean perfection. No one's perfect. That means effort. That means attitude. That means all the little things.
So you've seen some great running backs this season, just like Josh Raines of New Pal and, Nolan Carpenter of Delta. And, another player to mention is Yorktown's running back, Wilson Webster. He's looked very promising. Yeah. How are you planning on kind of stopping him?
Well, we got to fix ourselves. If we continue to not fill and not read our keys, then Wilson's going to have a heck of a night. And we're going to get the same thing we got this week, frustration and sadness. And, so it doesn't matter who we put out there. If kids are going to do what they want to do instead of trusting themselves and believing in themselves, well, then you saw it last night. I mean, we had 3 sacks in the first quarter. When guys do what they're supposed to do, we shut them down. When we hesitate and blink and doubt ourselves, well, then that kid runs right up the middle. So it's not a complex thing. You got to have the courage to take the hard road, and you got to do it over and over and over and over again. So it'll be the same this week. Yorktown's riding high, and deservedly so. They're 5-2, I believe, and they're always feisty and tough against us. They're well coached. We beat them last year. They're going to want to beat us. There's some common families. The Webster kid, he's got family here in Pendleton. And, so it's one of those things. It's a good rivalry. And we got to focus on ourselves, though. And, we got to fix ourselves. So.
And Yorktown's QB, Sam Tokar, is having a great season. And only as a sophomore, what does that mean for you in this game and in the future?
If Anthony Richardson was their quarterback, it wouldn't matter any different. We've got to play better in all 3 phases. And Tokar's another one. Him and his brother, quarterback center, cousins with the Casters here in town. Greg Casters, our PGFL president, son starting tight end at DePaul. They're good players. Great family, competitors. We gotta be tougher this week, and nothing against Delta, but Yorktown beat Delta handily. So Yorktown was tougher than Delta, and since none of the kids believe me, it seems like this season when I tell them, they can read the stats now, because Yorktown beat Delta and Yorktown beat Greenfield, and so we've got to make sure we're ready. Oh wait, Yorktown lost to Newcastle. You can't. Paper doesn't matter. It's all about what we do. And I hope everyone senses me being facetious, because I am sarcastic and I am frustrated that we listen to everything else but what we're supposed to. We need to lock in and focus on us. And it doesn't matter who we're playing. Right now, we beat ourselves again last night, and we got to go make plays. So,
yeah, and you're mentioning the team's mentality a lot, but what are all of the things you really need to focus on specifically for this game?
Oh, we're gonna need a third. We're gonna need a third time period for us to talk, probably, and that would probably just be for the things I need to work on. So. You know, we can start with believing in ourselves around here. We can start with taking pride in the things we do. You know, like keeping the locker room clean, like treating one another with respect. Because you can hold one another accountable without being disrespectful, you know. Another thing is not being entitled, you know. It's like we're offended when the other team fights back. So that's interesting. But those are three things. You know, we could be more coachable and trust that we have the kids' best interests at mind. But, you know, when we don't get what we want, why should I trust you? That's entitlement. Well, coach, I listened to you and we still didn't win. Well, that's because not all 11 guys listened. So, you know, you can sense my frustration, I'm sure. This is not exactly a fun interview probably for you guys, but this is how I am with the guys. I love these kids, and I really do, and they are awesome kids. And unfortunately, they got to get out of their own ways in a little bit, and they got to make sure they take ownership of the things I'm talking about, because it doesn't matter what we draw up on the board. It doesn't matter what the other team has, because we multiple times this year have gotten in our own way. And that's every player, from quarterback to, you know, guys we're subbing in to everybody. I mean, we're in our own head. You know, Wyatt DeBertrand on that last kick, his first kick was 39 yards. His career long's 40, by the way. So that was a 47-yarder at the end. And Wyatt DeBertrand, had he struck the ball on that last one, like he did his 39-yarder, his 39-yarder went through 10 yards. Now, Wyatt didn't lose the game for us. That's not the point of what I'm saying, but I hope he believes in himself because he's a heck of a kicker. He's a heck of a kid, but he's a heck of a kicker. So operation was good. Height was good. We just needed to bang it through, you know? And so that's an area where he can learn because he's got so much more potential, you know what I mean? And that's kind of how I feel about everybody on the team. I mean, Colton threw 21 for 40 for 230 yards and 2 touchdowns, you know? And I can point to 9 passes that he didn't get out on time or his feet weren't right, you know? And that's tough because you're the quarterback. He gave us a chance to win. He drove down the field with ice in his veins, you know? And that's what you want to see. He was so calm, cool, and collected, but that's who he is. And we just need more of it, you know? We just need more of it, so.
Now, you're going up against a team that kind of plays like you guys. You know, they have a strong running game, but an even stronger passing game. You know, you've played multiple teams in a row that are very strong runners, just like Delta, New Pal, and Mount Vernon. Yeah. So how are your techniques going to kind of change for this game?
Well, you know, we're pretty beat up right now. So we got to find 11 guys that are going to do what they're supposed to do. We're going to run our systems because they are versatile. We're not so stubborn that, like, we have to run this and it's going to be this or nothing else. We have the kids at every level to run our systems, and they're very versatile. So we can manipulate them to fit personnel, offense, defense, and special teams. So Eldridge went out last night. He's beat up. Hope he's doing okay this morning. Hopefully he's sleeping. Jake McKinley's out. Kemper Owens is out. Those are 3 starters right there. Those are 3 guys that have been starters for us. So when I think about those 2, McKinley and Eldridge on defense, we've got some guys that need to step up on the defensive line. Kiesling's really done a good job unselfishly of stepping in, playing a little bit of both. And we need to find some guys around there that are going to be disciplined because, like you said, they are versatile. They can run and pass. And so we got to be able to defend both. And we're built for that. Our safeties are built for that. Wyatt Elijah, I thought, played his tail off last night. I mean, that fourth down, he made a heck of a play last night multiple times. And Preston Wolf did a lot of good things too, jamming receivers. And, you know, I was real proud of him, you know. And at the same time, then there's times where we aren't as clean on some of those things. And we've got to be consistent. You know, traditionally they've been a really good screen team, which with guys without experience, they bait you into rushing upfield and then they throw a screen behind you. I don't know if they ran a screen all season because I haven't watched them. But at the same time, they run a lot of formations, motions, and screens, and coach does a really good job with that scheme. So we've got to be very disciplined on our keys, no matter what they do. And we've got to make sure we attack what we see and communicate what we see. So that's going to be our focus, as always, this week. And we need to find 11 guys that are going to do it together and unselfishly and you know, who are willing to do the dirty work. I mean, Garrett Peterson did a whole bunch of dirty work last night, you know. And of course, he had stats, too. But, man, Kiesling did some of that as well. And I could go on and on down the list. But that's the sort of attitude we need to have, that blue-collar mentality.
All right, well, this looks like this is all the time that we'll have today. For Coach Richmond, thank you for joining me, and good luck next week against Yorktown.
Thank you. Hey, happy birthday to Molly Richmond today.
Yes, happy birthday to Molly Richmond. And we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Zion's interview with Coach McLaurin of the girls' soccer team here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at detoursalonandstyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. 91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, and I'm joined here with the head coach of the soccer team,
Jonathan McClure.
Now, Jonathan, thanks for joining me today. How's your day going so far?
It's going awesome. We're at the end of first 9 weeks, gone unbelievably quick, but everybody's doing awesome. Gals are doing awesome. We're all ready for a fall break.
So, you know, with fall break ahead, how do you use that? I know your sectionals next week. Is it easier for your players? Not easy. How do you feel as a coach?
Well, look, it's been an awesome season. We got one more tune-up game here this coming Saturday. Not looking forward to the opportunity to go to Noblesville and try to compete for something pretty incredible, that being, I should say, a sectional play in a very tough sectional. But with it being fall break, we have a little bit more flexibility, kind of be loose on when we train and how we approach our business, getting as ready as we can for the Wednesday matchup with Muncie Central.
Now, looking at a little bit of a senior spotlight, if you would, who's really stood out as the senior with the most improvement this year and has been really fun to watch?
Well, for one, having Lydia Burkle back on the field, not being on the field at all as a junior, was immensely disappointing for all of us with her injury. So just to have her back on the field and open up our regular season play with Yorktown scoring 3 goals, and she's got 5 or 6 on the season. So that's been awesome. Katie Coleman coming back, super senior there. Her junior season coming back from her own injury wasn't as progressive as she or we thought it would be or would have liked. And so to see her buzz and helping us, you know, run the midfield and create opportunities and prevent being exploited by the opponent attack and all that bit, seeing her play the way she's capable of in her senior year is awesome. And then obviously, you got Amari Francis holding down the anchor in a brand new back line for us, doing an unbelievable job there, coupled with Josie Schur in that line as well. And then you got Liz Herberg rounding out the 5 seniors. So they've all been brilliant, selfless leaders, and a big reason why, even though we're a brand new team this year, for a lot of different reasons, are as disciplined, poised, having as much fun as we are.
Now, as we're about, I'd say a week out or so from your sectional matchup, how do you feel as a coach? How are you going to get your team ready in this final stretch till it's, you know, win or go home time?
Yeah, so we just continue to embrace and fully immerse ourselves in every opportunity, constantly remind ourselves that it's a very fast fall season. to enjoy every moment, because before you know it, it is over. So for those five special seniors that we just discussed, their last home game, the last time they'll ever play here at home is this Saturday. And so that's going to be a heartfelt kind of morning and afternoon for them and their families, and obviously for us as a whole. But just enjoying everything, every moment that we have together to get better, and we'll get better with some body maintenance today coming off the game last night, and some film, and just kind of look at maybe where we're a little bit vulnerable right now, a little bit soft, get a little bit harder in those areas, and maybe some opportunities that we're taking advantage of, how we can continue to exploit some of those moments against the opponent, but maybe what we're leaving on the table and how we might capitalize in some of those situations as we see them here in the coming week.
As a coach, how do you deal with like jitters? Of course, you know, for your seniors, it might be their last time here, playing here at Pendleton Heights, or maybe going into the sectionals, some newer players, some younger players, you know, getting incorporated. How do you deal with that and try to coach your players through that?
Control what you can control. We are faced with so many external factors, and unfortunately waste so much time thinking about things that might be said or things that might be done or things that we have zero control or influence over. So just reminding them to stay grounded, that this isn't anything that they haven't done 1,000 times before, done 1,000 times before really, really well. And just remind them on all the improvement that they've made individually and collectively. We're very much a we optic, selfless team. We're very dependent on us. So ensuring that we just focus on our job detail, what allows us to be successful within those roles and responsibilities to allow us then to be as strong as possible. And we really just focus on that and what we can control, what we can influence, then we know we're a tough out.
As a coach, what was your favorite game this season? Do you have any favorite teams you play, or, you know, that one's especially good, a rivalry matchup? What's been the best part of this season as a coach?
Just the joy. It's just been a fun season. When the right kids are involved, when the right families are on board and involved, it's enjoyable. And even when things are a little bit tough, it's still fun. And even when things might not go the way you would want them to be, but you truly embrace them and feel it in full and take it as a learning opportunity to spur and spawn individual and collective growth, you inevitably only get better individually and collectively. And that's what this group of young ladies, with the support of our incredible families, has been able to do from day one to where we're at right now. So I really don't have a favorite moment. There's been a lot of really great moments and a lot of great memories that they're going to leave me with. And hopefully we can put a few more together here before the season does wrap up. And I think that's what's really cool about wrapping up chapter two here, the regular season, and getting ready to embark upon and write a story for chapter three is we could, you know, write something that lasts another month, you know? So that really is kind of predicated on how many good moments we stack up against the opponent. Like I said, starting with that Muncie Central game on Wednesday, and then we earn the next opportunity, then we'll discuss and prepare for that at that time. But it's been a really enjoyable season because of the kids I'm able to work with right now.
Now, I run the PA, so I've seen a few of your guys' games more than, I guess, the normal sports staffer here. You're very, I don't want to call it emotional, but you're very in the game. You're constantly talking to your players, and you know, you really get involved. You will fight for your team when they need fought for. And is that competitive? Where does that come from originally? And how do you stay in it? Is it the bond you have with your players? Where does that come from?
We all got a job to do. And part of that job is holding ourselves accountable, but holding one another accountable, giving the atta girls, atta boys as we see them, and also letting one another know when maybe an adjustment needs to be made, because everybody cares a lot. The girls care a lot about doing their best, but doing their best for each one of their sisters because they don't want to let anybody down. And sometimes that caring can get in the way. So a little bit of that's twofold, right? You know, let them know when it's working. Wow, you look unbelievable. And they've given us a lot of those moments this season up to this point. And there's been some moments where maybe we've gotten a little bit lax. All right. And now we got to tighten this up, and this is how we're going to do this, or I need it out of you. And I expect them to share those conversations with each other on the field. They know that they can expect some of that critique out of me. But it's all coming from a heartfelt place of love. That's, we want to be the best version of ourselves. We all care a lot. Let's put our best foot forward and compete. You know, when you talk about Chad Smith and Adam Ritz in the athletic department, pride, passion, compete. And I feel like we got a group of 30 kids that embody that to a really immense degree. But the rather really cool thing about that is it's not a one-way street. The girls hold me accountable. The girls share their ideas. And I think that's one thing that they brought a lot of really great ideas to the table for my first year last year. And they were heard. I believe they feel like they were heard and that it's been a really enjoyable season for them as well in that regard. So I hope they do feel supported.
So for you as a coach, how long have you been coaching soccer and what led you to, you know, just being the coach of this team?
Yep. So I've been coaching for over a couple decades now, starting with just grassroots club soccer, and then gradually got a little bit more competitive as I found that I enjoyed it and as doors opened for me. Been a director of coaching for several years at a couple of different clubs, but through my experiences in coaching high school for a lot of years, club for a lot of years, collegiately for a few years, there's really nothing like high school soccer. I love the opportunity to represent a community, a school, a program, their families, and a group of individuals that are passionately driven toward, you know, seeing what they can achieve together, all the while growing individually too. So when my family and I moved out here a few years ago, we were excited to get the kids involved in the area, different sports, obviously Pendleton schools, all that good stuff. And then when the opportunity opened up to apply the girls soccer position, it was a no-brainer for me and feel very blessed that I was given the opportunity to take over the program. So I feel like we made a lot of great strides here in a couple of years, and a lot of that is purely driven by the heart and determination and commitment, again, of the gals and of the families.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you do coach your daughter. What's that like? Is it easier? Is it harder? Is it a lot more fun?
Well, you know, I never coached Kai until you know, coming here to Pendleton High School. So it's an opportunity that I knew at some point was going to come. I didn't know when or where. So to be able to do that again for our community here in Pendleton, our school here at Pendleton High School, and do this together with kids that she really loves, that I'm connected with, that I love, is awesome. And obviously we have a pretty tight connection and commitment to one another, and I trust her with an unwavering commitment, and I feel like she's an extension of me on the field like a lot of the other gals are as well. So again, what an unbelievable opportunity. I feel very blessed.
Well, that will wrap up this interview. Thank you for joining me, and good luck in your upcoming sectional matchup.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Now that will wrap it up for my ASN Coaches Show segment, but stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, senior living from Cardin. Located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton, their phone number is 765-778-7501.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Liam Davis, and I'm joined by Byron Boras, a sophomore wide receiver, and Sam Barrett, a freshman tight end here. Thank you guys for joining us. How has you guys' day been?
It's going good so far, bro. I just helped the athletic office, like, empty waters and stuff. Had a test in chemistry and AP World History, but it's going good so far.
Byron?
It's been pretty good. I got a B on my geometry test, so that's pretty good.
And so we're just going to get right started here. Sam, so how has this year treated you? Obviously, you are a freshman here, going to a brand new school, moving from Yorktown, and not knowing much people, but you immediately started dressing varsity against Lebanon in week one. How has that been for you?
I mean, it's been fun. I've met a lot of people, made a lot of friends through football. And just through football, I met other people in school, like, for example, you, Liam, and just, like, a bunch of other friends just in general. But football-wise, I mean, it's been really good. I've had a really good season so far. I've dressed every game. I had to work, and I've had a mid-season position change to tight end because I was a wide receiver at the start of this year. But I was able to get the opportunity to start the hard work since Newcastle, so, like, week three. But, it's been really fun so far.
And Byron, so obviously you are a sophomore now, second year of high school and second year of high school sports. At the beginning of the season, the team was struggling to find the right pieces in the offense, and they threw you in there. How has that been treating you so far?
It's been pretty good. I just, like, coaches gave me a good opportunity. Week one with some unfortunate events, some other key players being out, but I just stepped in.
And Byron, going right back to you. So for your stats this year, they are 6 receptions for 48 yards and a touchdown. Would your freshman self have expected you to be here on varsity?
Yeah, probably not. I didn't even think I was going to get a chance to play varsity this year, but it's been pretty good.
All right, and Sam, so your stats are 4 receptions for 30 yards. Obviously, you didn't get a real chance to get the ball until that Anderson game where you had a reception for 19 yards, and then you didn't really start playing until Newcastle game in week 3. But against New Pal, you had 3 receptions for 11 yards. Quentin Frank trusted you to get some yards for this offense. How has that been treating you so far?
I mean, it feels good. I mean, it's fun. It's a little scary, obviously, going from 8th grade to where it was a lot easier than high school and going straight down to face New Pal with D1 guys. But, yeah, it's been fun. It feels good that Colton trusts me to get yards, and even though I don't get necessarily a lot, all my job is to get 4 or 5 every single catch every time I get the ball, and I feel like that's what I've been doing so far. But, yeah, it's been good so far.
All right, and so we're going to go to questions for both of you guys. In your guys' opinion, who's the funniest on the team?
I got to say DJ, bro.
I would go with Keaton Jones, probably.
Keaton Jones is super funny, too. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. DJ McCrary, just...
He's very funny,
too. He has that... Have you heard the laugh he does?
Yeah, like the one laugh. Really funny.
I don't even know how he does it, but DJ's super funny. Colton Frank is really funny. And like Byron said, Keaton makes some of the stupidest jokes I've ever heard. But
and
they strike me funny.
Talking about Keaton Jones, he's in my weights class, and he broke the 40-yard dash goal record today. Beating Eli Pinkel by 0.01 seconds.
He's insane. He's gonna go places. I just know he has that build.
He is confirmed faster than a cheetah today.
Yes, he is.
Who was the hardest worker on the team?
Oof, hardest worker.
I gotta go Keaton, bro.
Yeah, he is a really hard worker.
Keaton works. He works his butt off every single day. I remember multiple times during summer workouts, like even after practice, when we'd have to lift in a workout or lift in a practice, he would still be out there after practice for about 30, 45 minutes getting his own work in. And he just, whenever he messes up, he obviously gets mad at himself, but he doesn't just use that. Like, he doesn't get mad and let it affect him the next play. He uses it to get better the next play, which is what you got to do.
All right. And who's the quietest on the team?
Quietest?
I'm not going to lie. Cooper barely talks.
Yeah, Cooper is Sims. Really quiet.
Cooper Sims, it's kind of hard to get him to talk, but when he does, it's when I talk to him.
And who is someone that you guys look up to? It could be any coach ever. It could be any player ever. It doesn't have to be at this high school. It can be anywhere.
Byron?
I'll probably just say Nate Darov, just because he's a senior receiver, teaching me some of his moves.
Like I said, it doesn't have to be at our school, but I'm not going to lie. I got to go with Rylan Kiesling just because ever since, like, when I moved here, I kind of was in the same mold he was, the outside linebacker, and they moved to tight end now, but he hasn't, like, tried to be the upperclassman that kind of bullies you and just, like, makes fun of you. He's, like, taking me under his wing, taught me everything he learns, or is teaching me everything he learns, just helping me become the best version of myself.
All right, and before you guys did get to high school, who was someone that you did look up to, whether that's college or NFL or one of your family members?
My favorite player growing up was probably T.Y. Hilton. Watched him a lot growing up because I am a Colts fan, so it was really fun to used to watch him.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably have to go. I'm not going to lie. I got to go with George Kittle just because ever since, like, even when I was a little kid growing up, I've always thought, I know there's Travis Kelce, but I feel like George Kittle is more of a well-rounded, like overall well-rounded tight end, and I've always just kind of wanted to be like him. Whenever I think of tight end in the NFL, I think of George Kittle.
All right, and who's your guys' favorite NFL team?
As I previously said, the Colts are my favorite team.
I got to go with the Colts. I was born and raised a Colts fan, so.
Yeah, same here.
All right, and I know, Byron, you said your favorite player, but Sam, we have not gotten your favorite player yet. Who is your favorite player?
Right now, I don't really know. I mean, George Kittle's still in the league, so, I mean, he's up there. But it's either him or probably Brock Bowers. I really like Brock Bowers. I watched him in college. I thought he was always a stud, and I want to be like him one day. So
me personally, it's Doug Baldwin, old Seahawks wide receiver. He's the reason why I did like the Seahawks now. Next question. If you guys were to play in the NFL, if you had the chance, what team would it be? But it can't be your guys' favorite team.
Ooh.
What team throws the tight ends a lot? I don't know. I don't want to sound like a bandwagon and say the Chiefs, because I know Patrick throws to Travis a lot. But I don't know. I can't say the Chiefs. Byron, you can go. I'm still thinking.
I would have to maybe say the Dolphins. I like their colors, and Miami's cool, I guess. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. I need to go somewhere warm.
The Raiders, their tight ends a lot.
That is true.
Used to have Darren Waller, and now they have Brock Bowers.
So, yeah, if I had to go anywhere besides the Colts, it'd probably be the Raiders, just because.
Have you guys seen the trade talks between Davante Adams and the Raiders?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen those, too.
Wants to go to the Jets, be back with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a crazy combo.
And if you guys were to create your own football team, what would the team name be and what would the colors be?
We're on the spot here, bro. Brian, you can go first.
I don't really know about a name, but I feel like colors might like a dark purple, black and white would be pretty cool.
That would be tough.
Yeah. I don't really know of a name, though.
Yeah. Jeez. What would be cool? What would be a cool NFL team name? Let's see. Suggestions, Byron?
I'm empty here.
I honestly think the Arabians would be a good name.
Arabians? I was going to say that, but I feel like that would just be kind of bailout answer just because that's where we go. But the Arabians, I feel like that would be good. And then I guess keep our colors.
That's exactly what someone else said that I interviewed.
Is it really?
Yeah. It was a tennis player, and I asked, what if you could create your own tennis team, what would the name be in the colors? And he said, we'll keep the green and white, and we'll keep the Arabian.
So, yeah, I mean, well, there's nothing wrong with our school. Yeah. I'll keep the Arabians and the green and white.
All right, so I'm guessing you guys both play fantasy football. How's your guys' team looking so far?
Pretty solid. I did get CMC, so that hasn't been too good for me. But it's been pretty good still, though.
Yeah, I'm in, like, four leagues, so it's kind of hard to keep track of every team, but in the league that me and you enter, in Liam, it's not very good. It's kind of going rough. But in one of my other leagues, I'm 3-1. But I've scored the most points in the league and just got unlucky that dude dropped 160 points in week 3 and I lost. But overall, I'd say I'm having a pretty good fantasy season this year.
Yeah, I'm 4-0 in the league that me and Sam are in. And I just got a trade from one of my buddies. Jane Daniels and Malik Nabers for C.J. Stroud, Jamar Chase, and Devon A-Chain. I think I stole Jane Daniels and Malik Nabers.
I don't know how that went through.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Malik Nabers is going crazy this year. He's been carrying my other team.
He is questionable for this week's game, though.
Yeah, if he's out, then I'm cooked. I don't have anyone on my team. I might be cooked.
All right. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have here. Thank you for joining me in this interview, and good luck on the rest of the season to you guys. Yeah. Of course, sophomore Byron Voorhis, wide receiver, freshman tight end Sam Barrett. Stay tuned for one final segment of the ASN Coach Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at cowanchiropracticcenter.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show. Now, I'm Lucas Williams, and I am joined by
Jonathan Lambert.
And this is going to be our last segment for the day, but we're going to be just mentioning briefly about the games that are coming up. And I guess the first that I want to mention is the boys varsity soccer team. They are currently 11-3, and they are playing their first sectional match against HSE on the 8th. And this is going to be a pretty hard game, as HSE is currently ranked third in the state, and they are currently 10-0-5. So even though they have tied five games, they have not lost a single game. And one of the leaders for that team, got to go with Mia Gatz, who has had 11 goals this year, definitely leading the team. And, I mean, this is – the boys' varsity team is going to be – no, this is a great matchup for them, but if they can come out with this win and keep on going on to sectionals, that is just going to be such a big boost of mentality right there. But, I mean, first, they do have to play against this game, and I guess that's one of the things that they need to focus on first. You know, you can't really look too much ahead in the future, you know, thinking about, oh, what am I going to do, you know, what am I going to do next game and the next game? You got to really focus on this specific game, as it is going to be one of their hardest opponents this year. And, you know, we did look at the boys' side of things. Now let's switch over to the girls' varsity soccer team. They are currently 7-7-1.
And a great team leader definitely to look out for is Noemi Galen. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. But she is currently standing at 8 goals and 2 assists. And Sadie Hannah, a senior, with 7 goals and 3 assists, another great team leader to look out for when watching.
Yeah, and they are going to play actually today at 11:30 against Guerin Catholic. They are 6-4-4, so we do have two pretty big matchups here. And, of course, they are about to start sectional soon. It looks like they are going to play their first game against Muncie Central. Now, Muncie Central is 1-14, so they are able to win this game, they will go on to the next round. And, I mean, the girls team, they are looking pretty promising this year. They have had a pretty great season. Now, switching over to volleyball, they are currently 15-13, and their season is about to come to an end pretty soon. They just played a few days ago against Greenfield Central. We do not have the score to that, but they do play on the 8th against Mississinewa, and then on the 9th against Muncie Burris. Now, that Muncie Burris game is going to be the start of sectionals, so this is going to be another big game for them. I mean, the volleyball team, they have played pretty well this season, but, I mean, Muncie Burris, they are a tough team. They are currently ranked, their record is 21-5, and they are first in their conference, so volleyball team, they're definitely going to have to go up against some really tough opponents. And I guess the last, you know, kind of sport that I want to mention is basketball. Basketball season is about to be coming up soon, as it is officially October, and the first game is on the 30th against Park Tudor. That is girls basketball, and I'm just very excited for basketball. Basketball is probably my favorite sport to watch and also to broadcast. And, I mean, the girls' team, they do have, you know, some great players. They still have Casey Warfel, who's a senior. I mean, she is looking to have a great season. She averaged, you know, 25 points per game last year. And also, another player to mention is Ada Hupfer. She is a really, really great player, especially for her age. You know, she is going into her sophomore year now, but currently standing at 6'3". I mean, she is just able to get those boards that, I mean, not really other teams have, you know. Not a lot of teams around, you know, the state have, you know, that 6'3 forward that is just able to get up and get those boards, get those easy lay-ins. I mean, I'm just very excited for this team.
Yeah, especially it's nice to have a player that size, especially on the girls' side, with them usually having an average shorter team, but definitely going to outperform a lot of people due to her size. So.
Yeah, and looking at the boys' side of basketball, you know, this is going to be maybe a rough season for them. They are missing some of their best players that have graduated on, but this is nothing really to worry about. Is, you know, Coach Buck is not, you know, this isn't something new to him. You know, he's gone through this process so many times of losing these great players and having to rebuild, but he still does have, you know, great players like Cooper Sims and Joe Estes. And, I mean, there still is, you know, good amount of players on the team. And, of course, their first game is against Anderson at home on the 26th of November. And, I mean, I'm just overall very excited for basketball season. I think it's going to be a great season. But that will wrap it up for our ASN Coaches Show. You know, this was a great, great hour. You know, we talked to Coach Richmond a lot. And, you know, he did, it was kind of funny because he mentioned that, you know, he seemed a little bit mad about, you know, the team's performance. And, you know, that's nothing really new. But he kind of stated how, you know, it might have not been the best for us to listen to him speak about it. But I loved about every single second of it. I think it shows, you know, the true side of him. You know, it shows this kind of insider information. And I guess that is just one of the great things about this program altogether is that, you know, you're able to interview these specific players and coaches, you know, get more information, you know. And I'm just more of a learner myself. I like observing and I love listening to what he has to say. But this is all the time we have today. Thank you to everyone who is listening, and you are listening to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.